let's get to work. First, we're going to take a look at a theology of emotion. Just as a patient with a broken limb may experience any variety of physical pain, so our counselees may suffer from all sorts of emotional discomfort. When someone they are or have been romantically involved with breaks up with them and in the process breaks their heart. By the way, did you know that a broken heart is a biblical construct? That term is really in the Bible. I'm not going to tell you where it is. I want you to look it up on your own. I'll give you a hint. It's in the New Testament, believe it or not. Counselees may have many painful issues with which they must contend. Anxiety, anger, depression, guilt, loneliness, despair, vain regrets. Vain regrets is sort of looking to the past in such a way that it keeps you from living and thinking responsibly in the present. Fear, embarrassment, rejection, and grief. Now, pain can be a good thing. Even real physical pain can be a good thing because it lets us know that something is wrong. Most of us would never seek the help of a physician without being motivated by some type of pain. Same is true of dentists, you know. I dare say if we have any dentists in the house tonight that the majority of your patients come to you not when they're regularly scheduled for a checkup, but when they're about to have a root canal or something. So the same is true with counseling. Most of us would never seek the help of a counselor unless we were in some kind of emotional pain. So emotional pain, or really emotionally caused pain is probably a better way to put it, can also be a good thing because it lets us know that something is wrong. So emotional pain is often a symptom. It's not the real problem. As you know, that's why drug therapy is largely ineffective. People, you know, want to take a pill to deal with their emotionally caused or emotional illnesses, so-called, and the pill really doesn't deal with anything but the symptoms. The pill will ease the symptoms, but it doesn't deal with the issues in a person's life that is causing the pain. So they really do not treat the real problem. Suppose I was fiddling in the kitchen and I inadvertently, without realizing it, turned on the burner. And without my realizing it, the eye of the burner started getting really, really red and hot. And then without thinking, I just, you know, sort of put my hand on the red hot grill. And just at that moment, let's just say a pan fell out of the, this is a kind of a gross illustration, you ladies, forgive me, but it'll make a point in a second. You know, sort of hits me and sort of sandwiches my hand, you know, onto the grill, and I start screaming for my wife because my hand's like kind of seared to this grill now. Kim, help me, my hand is burning. And so she walks in and looks at the thing real quick and sort of sizes it up and says, oh, honey, I can help you. So she opens up a drawer, finds the sharpest knife she can buy, and she slits all the nerves in my wrists. And I say, oh, thank you, that feels so much better. Well, I mean, that's not, you know, that will help ease the pain, but it's not going to deal with the problem. You know, we hear a lot about emotional illness. Well, again, that really is a misnomer because in most cases, the emotions are working fine. You know, their emotions are working exactly how God, as God intended for them to work. People talk about having an emotional breakdown. Or they talk about having a nervous breakdown, right? Well, their nerves aren't broken down. Their emotions aren't broken down. What they really have is a resource breakdown. There's a problem in their life that they don't have the resource to resolve effectively. And so they, as a result of their inability to solve the problem, they break down in one way or another. It's sort of like a smoke detector. Imagine lying in bed at 3:30 in the morning when all of a sudden your smoke detector startles you from a sound sleep. How easy is it going to be for you to get back to sleep with that continuous piercing alarm screeching in your ear at 105 decibels? How terrible, you think, that smoke detector has disturbed my sleep. Now, you can respond in a number of different ways. You can pull the pillow over your head, put your fingers in your ears, and try to get back to sleep. You say, well, that's not very wise. Okay, well, you can reach under your bed for the biggest shoe you can find, walk over to the smoke detector and smash it to smithereens. What? Will that not solve the problem? No. I mean, the problem is not with the smoke detector. The smoke detector is working exactly as God intended it, as it was designed to work. The problem is that there's a fire in the house, and the smoke detector is not going to go off for good until you put out the fire. Well, the same is true with our emotions. So often when you and I experience painful emotions, it's God's smoke detector, as it was. It's God telling us there is a fire in your life, and it needs to be put out. The fire needs to be put out. You don't solve the problem in the long term by dealing with the symptoms. You put the fire out, and eventually the smoke detector will go out. So let's take a few painful emotions. How about someone who's struggling with sinful anger? If a person is regularly struggling with sinful anger, what might be the fire in the person's life that is causing that smoke detector to go off? Any thoughts? All right. It could be that the anger is directed towards God, not accepting perhaps God's sovereignty or not believing in His goodness. All right. What else might the fire be? Yes. All right, could be that I have an inordinate desire. I've not submitted my desires to God. I'm guilty of idolatry, loving something or someone more than God. All right, what about fear? What if the smoke detector is going off and it says fear, fear, fear? What could the fire be in the life of an individual who is struggling with fear? All right, lack of faith, lack of trust in God. There's another one you ought to be aware of as biblical counselors. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Yeah, it could be when a person is fearful. And that could be, and I dare say in most cases, what you're dealing with is a fire in a person's life where he is not loving God as he should, and he's not loving his neighbor as he should. In one way or another, chances are when you have a person who especially is paralyzed by fear, that's the fire in the person's life that has to be put out. How about the smoke detector the smoke detector goes off and it says loneliness. What might the fire be in the life of someone who's struggling with loneliness? All right, expecting others to meet their needs rather than God, looking to God, to other people rather than God to meet their needs. It could be a misunderstanding of loneliness, you know, believing that loneliness is, I think this is the point you were making, Stephen, believing that loneliness is a result of not having friends to enjoy as opposed to realizing that loneliness is the result usually or often of a deficient relationship with the Lord. How about anxiety? What could the fire be in the life of a person who is anxious? We talked about fear. Anxiety is sort of similar, but maybe fear's little cousin. Again, not trusting God. And it could be that the individual has a temporal value system, that he's got, an idolatrous desire for something temporal. Usually the things that we are anxious about are things that only last for time and a season rather than things that last for eternity. And again, it is often indicative of the fact that there is an idolatrous desire in a person's life. Usually one side of the idolatrous desire says inordinate desire for something, and the other side of the coin says inordinate fear or anxiety of losing something. So there's something he's holding on to that may be a good thing at face value, but the degree to which he's longing for it makes the desire inordinate and therefore idolatrous and sinful. How about depression? Smoke detector goes off. I'm depressed, I'm depressed, I'm depressed. What could the fire be in the life of an individual who is depressed? All right, good. Guilt is one of the first things we look for. Guilt over sin that has not been confessed and forsaken, repented of. All right, what else? Selfishness, or, to put another way, lack of love, which really is what selfishness is, lack of love for God and love from neighbor. How about bitterness? How about it means that I've not forgiven somebody? Or it could mean that that's why I'm depressed. Because again, someone said that depression is sort of like running around the block a few times. If I were to run around the campus here 4 or 5 times, after a while, my physical energy would be depleted and I would be exhausted. Well, it maintains, it requires emotional energy to maintain a grudge. And by the way, to live with guilt, they